Welcome back to Brass Stats. This is Sanka Price here with you, along with Dennis Johnson. And we were just talking about Barbados Light and Power. They were one of our sponsors just now. And I'd like to commend them. We had an article in the Nation newspaper on Monday. A poll fell during Kirk, when Kirk, the remnants of Kirk was passing. This poll was in St. Stephen's Hill. It's a little back road just behind St. Stephen's Primary School, and it leads to the St. Stephen's Reservoir. And the poll fell very precariously right across the unpaved track, and it's where children pass on a daily basis. A report was made to Light and Power on Saturday, and my understanding is by Monday, the poll was taken care of. So congratulations to Light and Power. There's another issue here. I was trying to remember the name of the coach that I was talking about. It's Tony Lovell. He has done a tremendous amount of work with a lot of young people, made a lot of connections for them with universities overseas. And some of our leading coaches today and top athletes of yesteryear would have also passed through his hand, along with Justin Clark. And these are the type of unsung heroes that I'm talking about. And that's just in athletics. You would hear now and then people talk about what some people in industry or in the communities or the churches would have done to help others in the society. So these are the sort of people that I think should be also be looked at in terms of recognition, because this is what makes a society very strong, when you have people at all levels who are doing their best to keep the community, to look after the community, and to make sure all those in the within that society are assisted and their talents can be realized. And this is all important, of course, when we're talking about the behavior of our school children today. And the next point that I want to emphasize is what we're seeing is not the totality of the issue. It's not all of the school children who are bad. It's just a few. And you know how it is. The few who perpetuate violence and on the streets of Bridgetown or wherever, at the bus stops, wherever, those are just a minority. The vast majority are trying to do their best to make something of their lives. What surprises me, however, is that so many adults stand up and watch them fight and don't try to park them or anything. Instead, they just film these things. And that is one of the distressing things. Anyhow, our next break will be at 12:30, and that will be for the latest. Until then, we'll take a couple of calls. This is Brass Stacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
How are you today, sir?
There is something called a law review commission that these people planning to get. Smiling on TV. Law review commission or something. I don't know that the laws in Barbados are old. They got a lot of laws about the place and the fixing. There's no question about that. But you look at me and tell me you're sending home people. Sending home people, cutting the hair of other people, and can still find money for this extravagance. Because that's exactly what it is. It is needed. Nobody questions that. But there's a time.
If it's needed, then it can be extravagant.
There's a priority.
If it's needed, it can be extravagant.
You come with this gloss. No. It's not a gloss.
It's not gloss.
So you know what's needed?
If you tell me something is needed, then you can't tell me it's extravagant.
It was what fixing. Huh? You can have hurricanes come across, you've got derelict buildings all about Barbados and get blown down with the smallest wind. That could be taken care of. You see, but those kind of opportunities require labor. Those kind of opportunities require artisan skill, people who work with their hands. Wouldn't rather send them home, but create positions so that the academic type, the administrative, the consultant type can find a piece of work. You don't see what's happening here? No, you don't think that lawyers already know which laws in Barbados need to get fixed and updated? They work with the law. They're trained in the law. Everybody come to them every day with something you have to do with the law. They know which laws in Barbados need to update. You don't have to have the commissioner for that there. They say, but you got over 1,000 lawyers. Give me the laws you think got a problem. I'll fix the ones that need fixing or something like that. You know, there's a big law money or salaries or nothing. You know, it amazes me. If you want to go and touch the law with respect to lawyers and law and that kind of thing, just fix those little clauses that say that lawyers salaries or, you know, minimum scales are maintained and take them out so they can compete with everybody else in the open market, like everybody else, like human beings. So you got to come to the marketplace and say, I might be the best at what I do, but you got to pay me what you think I'm worth. I can't go and say, well, oh, the law says that you got to pay me X amount. They're the only people that defend it that way. If you want to go and fix the law books, fix them that way. And that way consumers can have a better deal. They've got so many areas where technology has more or less made things dated. Like for argument's sake, the partitioning of land. You don't think that right now at the Tongan country, or you call it Tongan country, it's called, no thing is not called Tong planning.
Mm.
But every partition of land, every boundary, and the ownership of which is already on file on some kind of logical sort of file somewhere. So if there's a change in ownership or if there's a change in boundary demarcations, that can easily be done by computerized technology. That means you don't require searches and all this fancy stuff. Why are these technologies not incorporated into the services that are being offered so that the cost of those services can be significantly reduced?
Don't you think that is something that could come up in the whole recommendations from the law review?
So you gotta wait for 4 or 5 years. That's what these things is working on. These guys just come in and say we have to do investigations on A, B, C, and D. But it will take 5 years for those results to come back. And at the end of the 5 years, we will now spend the next 5 years implementing what we think should be implemented when you find that the implementation really don't come at all. So you got 10 years of wasted time. No, I do not think it's gonna happen. In 2007, when Owen Arthur was Prime Minister, he said yes. We will start using our technology to make sure that the whole... You don't have to go to the people no more, certain people to get the buy and sale of land. That, we can take that out. We can find ways to make that happen. That was 2007. That's over a decade ago. And it has not really happened. Because there are interests involved. And that is, you know, you say, I keep targeting these people. These people have this thing so well defended. Because they have... You know, what I would like to see happen as well, too? I would like to know... On an annual basis, I would like to know, because we have the auditor coming in. He comes in every year. He does his stuff. I forgot what his name is. I forgot what his post is called. Auditor General every year with this. I would like for him to have a column set up. There's a little request, a very simple request, that gives the amount of money that is spent in private legal services by taxpayers every year. We had a situation where about 8 months ago, 9 months ago, Prime Minister decided he was going to employ a private person to defend his decision in court. He bypassed all the lawyers. He decided to do it. It wasn't for the first time. I'd have other instances in the past 4 or 5 years where private lawyers were engaged with government contracts, having to deal with land and, you know, the Barbados Water Authority, all that kind of thing. And we do not know as taxpayers how much money is spent. But we actually do know in 2 cases the amount of money that was spent on these particular lawyers who had very strong political connections, and I can't really call the people's names. I think
you're really taking some liberties. Hold on.
I'm trying to liberate.
You are taking a lot of liberties here, okay? Because what you are trying to do,
it
isn't about gloss, okay?
Yes, sir.
What you are doing is trying to say,
brace yourself.
You continue.
Good, thank you. So the problem is, there is a strong connection between the two political parties and the legal fraternity. Very, very strong. And it goes back many decades, probably even before you were born. And they think that is a very unhealthy relationship. Because if Barbados needs to progress, it needs to progress in a way that everybody benefits in the same way.
All right, thank you very much. And you've made your point. As I was saying, and this is not gloss, and this is not PR, as the learned caller would want to say. The fact about it is that as much as we may have a challenge with some of the fees that are charged by some attorneys or have been charged by some attorneys in the past, the deals that we have heard about, there's certain technicalities that are involved in producing legislation or drafting legislation. That's what I'm looking for. And we cannot just simplify and dismiss things. You know, and one of the things that I find that happens here when people literally run them out is that they always come to try to make a job that they have no expertise in. They just try to dismiss it as nothing because they consider it as nothing. But the reality is that there is a place for a number of these things. If you are telling me that something is needed, and at the same time saying it is still extravagant. But then you need to clarify yourself. But I understand where you're coming from. The point that you're making is that other things are needed in this society right now. And why should you be sending home people? I mean, come on. We know that there has been padding in the government service, and has been going on in all governments. We have to deal with that. At the same time, there are other things that still have to be done. So you have areas of expertise where you will need that, where those things need to be done. One is like the Law Review Commission, where they will be actually reviewing some of these older laws and trying to bring them up to date, or I guess where necessary, scrap them. And that needs to be done. That is work that can be going, that can be ongoing. But that's a job where you have people with that expertise to do. And in every area of our society, whether or not people want to accept it, the fact about the matter is that you always hire people, despite what recession is on, despite how difficult things are, you hire people with a certain level of expertise to do, to provide a service in a certain area where you need that strength, because you think that that's the area of growth. So these things happen, but you just can't simplify and dismiss it just because you don't like it or you have a beef with it. And that's just my say on it. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Yeah, very good afternoon to you, Mr. Price.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you doing?
I'm well, sir.
All right. The position is that this administration is doing some restructuring of the debt. And as a result, I want to look at the domestic debt. Now, at this stage, we have a lot of derelict buildings around the place and vehicles. It might seem that they're not, how should I put it? It doesn't mean anything to anybody, put it that way. But I'm saying that when you analyze, by my driving around, looking around, the revamping of these buildings and vehicles can bring some money into reserve.
How so?
All right. If you think in terms of the old waterworks building, it's there. It's just lying idle, grass growing, everything happening with it. We have sufficient skilled trained people, local tradesmen. And with what is happening now with the improvement in our reserve, I think a little money could be spent in revamping that area. And then the recall of many of the government departments that are rented out now to the private individuals. I think that'd be an area of saving some money. It's a kind of economics as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're paying out money in rentals, the private sector, but leaving your buildings unattended.
That's government economics, man. No, but you have a point. But quite frankly, places like you use the waterworks building, the old water authority building, as an example, and just let's continue to use that as an example. I know that building well because I worked in that building. But the property itself is a pretty large property, all paved, undercover. Even if the building is a bit outdated, and I suspect that it is, given when it was built and the, you know, the electrical insulation in it and that type of thing, even if you implode that building and build a new building there, and I'm not talking about the government necessarily doing that, I'm talking about that is a very good location just off the highway for any business place who wants to set up a certain type of business, because they have a lot of parking facility. And as I said, if it's a distribution business that has a small distribution section where they have to store goods or whatever, there's a warehousing on that site and whatnot. And because it's real wrong, it has a good security and whatnot. So to my mind, why do you have that building going to grass and falling apart? then you can sell the property, and get some revenue in.
You bought another dimension, which is good, because you're saying a private enterprise can go in there, set up, and it can be used.
I suspect they would want to demolish that build the main office building though, because it's very small inside.
Yeah, I'll put it that way. Don't mind small inside. Mm-hmm. The outside.
It's dated. It's dated. It's dated. It is dated. It is dated. It's old.
All right, but we just remodeled the old building there in town. Let me explain something to you. There's nothing that's near old. Anything can be revamped.
As much as I agree with you with that one, when you're going to build a certain, if you're going to build a building and you want a more open, more buildings now, more office space now is open, more open. And sometimes it is cheaper,
to knock down
and build back than to restructure. Okay. And those who have to remodel an older house or whatnot can tell you that the contractors will tell them, but you know, if we just knock down this whole place and build from scratch, it might prove to be cheaper because then you build to for purpose.
Go on HGTV or DIY, and you'll see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to discuss on this with you. We are talking about classes clear. All right, and Barbados, let me say first that most people don't honor these people. They just go by the wayside. Now, Jackie Opel, who knows about Jackie Opel? Who knows about Auntie Mango Phillips? Who knows about Standard? Who knows about Johnny Bell, Earl Maynard, the Garfield Suburbs, Freda Nichols, Noah Lynch, Kingsley Reese, Classius Clay, Barry Ford, Patrick Husband? I could go on and on. You get the point I'm making?
And I more than get the point you're making. That is why I said that these are people who are, I call them unsung heroes, who they're basically average Barbadians who have excelled and who have done Barbados proud from their exploits and their achievements, not only locally but on the regional and some few of them on the international scene. And really and truly, there should be some way that we should find some way to have their for them to be remembered, because as I said, they come from within the small communities, and these are the people that the average person can relate to, because they were quote unquote average people who just did well.
We should be using these people to educate and help. I think it will also help the younger folks now. One man I would name there now is Ronald Suki King, world renowned champion, Ronald Suki King.
He would number among those individuals as well.
Yeah. But you want to hear something? In the United States and many other places, people like Otis Redding and those folks, they were underprivileged people too. But you know what? People found them out and managed them and bring them to the heights, whereby they became international singers and different stars. I remember right through the years, you will still remember what it's writing. Now people know. Here in Barbados, are you going through the back door hard? Nobody want to hear now about you. Talk to you later.
All right, sir. And someone here is saying, as you speak of the old Barbados Water Authority property, it's being cleaned up. So thank you. And for the person, VOB 182, it isn't every time that you disagree with a point a person is making that they're taking a political angle. And I wish some of you in this country would stop being so partisan and try to think. That's what you went to school for, to think. It saddens me that just because you disagree with a person and you see a different angle, that of course you're being political. So if I see something that you are supposed to, your political party is pushing, then it's fine. But if I see it from a different perspective, I am being political. It is sad, but that's Barbados for you. We try to take a really quick call here because we have to go to the latest at 12:30. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
If I get into the news time, can I wait and come back to you after the news?
Well, you definitely can get into the news time, so go right ahead.
Okay. I heard last night a professor saying that it costs Barbados $145 million a year in absent days and non-productive time. Sanka, I would like him to tell me how he arrived at this number, $145 million. That's a lot of money. And if what he's saying is correct, Sanka, that is a lot of money we retrieve in the year come. So I would like him to bring the empirical evidence to show me. The other thing he wants to see is he also said that the global warming has a lot to do with the non-communicable diseases in this country. I would like him to explain that further too.
Okay. All right. You hear the theme in the background. So we're going to take a break for the latest. And if you stay, when we come back, we come straight back to you. Okay? Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. And I think we still have a caller there on the line. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
You were asked. Your first question was relating to absentee days, and they said it was $145 million being lost for absenteeism. Correct?
Absentee days and non productive time on the job.
Yeah, but you know, there's a calculation that can be done for this. It's just like when the island closes down, you can say, okay, well, Barbados loses X amount of million dollars in terms of productivity or sales or whatever. There are calculations for all of these things.
Thank you. Listen, I say the man is wrong. You know, you only ask to have a breakdown how you get right for that number. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is this: he also said that there's an association or a synergy between non-communicable diseases and global warming. I also would like him to explain to me and the public how we arrive at that. But the other thing, Sanka, is this. I was listening one night to People's Business on CBC. And just before Barbados got its World Heritage Site, help me, Sanka.
Your designation for World
Heritage. Designation, right. Mm-hmm. That's the word we're looking for. That's why we want bright people at U-Pony Radio. Before Barbados got its World Heritage Site designation, I heard two people, one was Professor Henry Fraser and another person saying that Barbados could make as much as $200 million a year as a result of Barbados being designated a World Heritage Site. Since we have been designated a World Heritage Site, I would like he or somebody to come and tell me if you have gone to that $200 million mark that they were talking about.
I'm sure they haven't. They were talking from a perspective of if we can develop it and market it effectively, then it has that level, that potential market is available.
Sanka, my concern, right, is not what these people say, you know. My concern is not to come and just drop these things and go, but give us a further explanation as to how they arrive at these kinds of conclusions. That's basically what he's saying. Because I remember Dan Johnson making a lot of sport at me one time when he said, I would like to know how we can cost the government $24 million to dig a hole. And Dan Johnson said, but you know, you got to pay for the diesel. You got to pay for the man driving the truck, the bulldozer and all this kind of thing, making big sport at me.
I don't think he was making sport. I mean, I didn't hear the interaction, but I didn't think he was making sport. But the reality is that when you, and I'm going to use the same example, dig a hole in the ground, okay? First of all, and this goes back to the point I was making about some things being very technical.
Right.
I don't know where the hole was dug, but, you know, there's some soil structures.
Sorry, I'm going to St. Thomas.
Right, but there's some soil structures that you've got to be very careful with when you're digging, because and if you say St. Thomas, where you have a lot of caves run under, you know, so you can mess up the whole cave network there. So you have to do boreholes first, you know, like at Warren's, you know, like where the barrack building is now, you have to do boreholes to make sure the depth of the limestone and whatnot. It's a lot of technical things, but we tend to simplify these things just to make a point, and it's really misleading, and it's not right.
I'm not simplifying anything.
I'm not referring to you. I was just on my hobby horse because I find that we do it too often here on this radio.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this to you, Sanka. I know a lady that built a house in St. John, and the gentleman was in the yard digging a well, and the well was about 4 feet deep. When the man hit the drill down in a part of the well, the drill just get away, went right down the boy to this day, and the drill gone, and the man see him, he down with that well. So I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And that's a fact, you know. That's all sporty,
but no. But I've heard about things like that too, because there's certain places in this island that you've got to be careful how you dig and what sort of foundation you put down and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know. But anyway, people seem to think that, you know, it's everything is just simple and basic. And the thing about it is. I remember a certain professional, I won't call his name because he's well known to Barbadians. He once told me that he would argue certain points with people from different professions up to a certain point. But then he will never get into the technicalities because he's not trained in that. And likewise, when people come to argue with him on his profession, he does not take on people if they come trying to tell him his job when they don't have any training. And I told him that you can't be like that. You have to listen to people because, you know, they may not be trained, but there's some people take a common sense approach to things, and sometimes that common sense approach works. And he said, well, that's fine, but still he would maintain his position. But the key thing, and this is the one thing that I'm trying to transmit to people like the Mr. Anthony America and others who try to simplify things to the point that they really make it seem that, oh, some things are nothing. It's not so. You know, it's just like some people will call here, and there was one suggestion, a person said that the last ministers who served, they don't deserve a pension because they messed up the country and whatnot. Barbados may have its challenges now, and some people may question their management and whatnot, but you cannot come and say and dismiss their work because a lot of those guys work really hard. To, you know, their policies may not have worked, but the point is that doesn't mean that they weren't committed and they did not work hard. So we need to stop rubbishing people. And we need to start rubbishing professions just because you have a beef with them. That's all. That's my only say. Good afternoon. You're on the air.